This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, LeBron is a Laker.
Here comes LBJ!
This Clippers team will win a championship this year.
Paul George, corner three.
Yes!
Bryant has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Oh, he banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game!
Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the Battle for LA podcast, part of the Clutch Points and Blue Wire Networks. As usual, Tomer Zarley here, your Clippers beat writer for Clutch Points. And as always, Ryan Ward, our Lakers beat writer for Clutch Points here. We've entered week two of the NBA hiatus. Today's day one of week two. And there was some news coming down today. Before we get into that, I wanted to introduce our guest for today, Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report and Basketball Insiders. Does great work for both of them. Eric, thank you for joining us today.
Of course, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I know there's so much going on, so I appreciate you putting time aside for us. But no, in all seriousness, thank you.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not like there is a lot going on. Like, there's nothing going on.
Yeah. So how have the first week been for you? I mean, it feels like it's been 2 months for me, but it's only been a week. How's it been for you?
Well, it's been a little stressful on my end because I was at the Boston Celtic game versus the Utah Jazz, and I was in the Jazz locker room. I specifically went to the Jazz locker room to catch up with Jordan Clarkson, who, of course, you know, we covered in L.A. for a while, so... Uh-huh. He was sharing a locker right next to Donovan Mitchell. So when the news came out that Gobert had it, I was like, okay, I'm in danger, but at least I didn't even see Gobert in the locker room, so maybe I'm okay. And then came out shortly later that Donovan Mitchell had it, and I'm like, thought about it from like, yeah, I was about, you know, 10 feet away from him. Yes. But then Jordan Clarkson didn't come down with it, and so far so good. It's almost 2 weeks from that, but then of course we got the news that a bunch of Nets had it. And I was at that game, Lakers Nets. So I don't know. I have to check my clock now and just. So I really don't go outside much. I do walk the dog on occasion, pretty much every day. But basically, I've been out of the house, self quarantining as best I can.
That's good to hear. So you're not showing any symptoms. You're good, right? You're in the clear for now.
For now, yeah. I mean, allergy season, but other than that, just trying to keep myself calm and busy. And you know, I'm actually. You know, I joked about not being busy. I actually have been pretty busy. I've been writing a lot of articles, doing a lot of different shows, and then catching up on stuff around the house, projects, and spending time with the family. It's good for, you know, a couple of weeks. If this is like the next 6 months, then, you know, we might pull out our own hair. But, you know, that's really the, you know, not even the million-dollar question, the multi-billion-dollar question of when does this quarantine period for basically the world end?
Okay, well, why don't you just go into it and tell us when you think it could end? Because we've seen reports that this could we could start the regular season back up in June and head to August playoff wise, but then that would require maybe not playing many regular season games, if any, mainly for the playoffs. Where do you think that goes?
Well, I think you'd start. You know, my focus in what I do is more on the economics of the league, and when you look at it from that point of view. The league has, they don't want to not show their games on TV. That's really their main partners. That's where the bulk of the income comes from, both local and national TV. And it would be best if nothing was canceled, of course. Right. So there is the other aspect where it's quite costly to do games without fans. That would be a problem, but it's not as significant a problem financially as losing the games and whatnot. So I think what the league would like to do, and we'll have to wait and see, and I don't know if you all saw Adam Silver on Rachel Nichols' show.
I did, yes.
On ESPN. And like they want to get this thing going. He's not ready to accept that it's not going to happen. So from like a contractual point of view, the way that the league works, the way that the collective bargaining agreement works is that player contracts roll over on June 30th at the end of the day to July 1st. As of July 1st, now anyone who was in the last year of their deal, they're free agents. Anyone who's getting paid the money this year, their money rolls over to the next year. And so like there's a soft deadline by the end of June, but at the same time, the owners of the teams and the players union can renegotiate something outside of the rules. And that's very possible. So we could see this go beyond that deadline. We could see everything pushed back from the draft to free agency, summer league, obviously the finals, everything pushed way back, is back as far as August or September even.
So you think it's realistic that they start up the league again, whether or not just going straight into the playoffs or playing a few regular season games and then going to the playoffs in like June and then possibly starting the season again like on Christmas Day?
Right. I think this impacts next season. I really do. I think next season, if things go as, I mean, look, it would be great if we could all turn around tomorrow and just get back to life. But there doesn't seem to be any expectation that this is going to be resolved in the next 6 to 8 weeks at best. And then really, if you ask people who are either realistic or pessimistic, July, right? So in a perfect world, this all goes away. But that's not where we're at, unfortunately. So you push back everything. And you know, there was some talk. When I was in Boston, I was at the MIT Sloan Conference. And the big conversation there, one of the panels was, what's the future? How can you change the NBA for the better? Put everything on the table and let's just brainstorm. And I think his name was Steve Koonin, who's like an executive with the Hawks, said that the league should really start in August, or rather finish in August. They should start around December, around Christmas. And really after the bulk of the NFL season is done, you have a little bit of playoffs, but that at that point you've only got a few games here and there. You know, Super Bowl the week off, maybe the final, you know, the conference finals, whatever they call it in that other sport. And then have the NBA start on Christmas, around Christmas, which is really when most people who aren't diehard NBA fans and diehard NBA people, that's when they start paying attention anyway. So it's an idea. And then finish up later, and that would mean everything is delayed. You do the draft later, you do free agency, you do trades, all this stuff later, and the next season starts. So I don't think there was serious momentum to get that done, but I think it's a discussion that has been taking place. You know, Adam Silver is very progressive and open to new ideas, and then, you know, this sort of pushes their hand towards that. If it's going to happen anyway, naturally, organically, maybe this is the time to make these dramatic changes. Also, because it's very rare for the players and the players union and the league to sit down together to have extensive negotiation. The only time they really do that is when there's a new collective bargaining agreement. They're clearly going to have to sit down, because the league can't just postpone things like this without the players agreeing. So if they're already going to be negotiating that, maybe this is the time to enact more significant long-term, maybe even permanent change.
Wow, so there's a chance this will be a long-term NBA season thing change than just changing this year and changing next year.
I don't know if it's likely, but I think it's very, very possible.
It's a good opportunity to do it, right? I mean, if it's going to be forced that way anyway, or is a good chance of it, might as well just continue on. Or at least roll the dice, right? Give it a try.
Right. I mean, the 66-game season was well taken by the league, by the players. The only thing, you know, this is when we had the lockout some time back. It felt like a better number than 82. But the problem there is that you're losing games. So how do you make up that income? So there's the idea of the midseason tournaments and all these other ideas. But if we're already losing money right now, maybe that's okay. Maybe now's the time to make the change. But you also have a third party, which is really multiple third parties, which is the media partners, right? So you have ESPN/ABC, you have TNT and all of their, NBA TV is part of that. And then you have all of the local networks. And then we also have the other issue, another party altogether, is the arenas, right? Arena availability. So one possibility is that they don't even use arenas if and when we resume without fans, because you don't necessarily need fans. You don't need a gigantic arena when there are no fans. So,
what were they were talking about the practice facilities?
Yeah, well, like have either of you been to a South Bay Lakers game or a Defenders game back when it was at the old facility?
No.
Those are a lot of fun, and they're just tiny and small events that are, you know, 300 people in the stands, and the stands aren't even the stands. They're just like just chairs, right? Yeah. The Clippers in the Caliente Clippers, the ones that play in Ontario, they play in an actual arena. And so it's not a good comparison, but the Lakers, it's just a small group. It's very intimate. The games are fun to watch. It's really fun to be there. Unfortunately for the fans, they won't be able to be there, and you'd only have like 300 fans available. I forget what their exact capacity is, but in that neighborhood. And so why not? They have experience shooting games there, right?
True.
So you go case by case. It becomes a question of how do you limit the number of people that are there? Because think about, you have 15 players per team and they're practicing, and so they need to be quarantined essentially to be able to be active, because you can't risk one player breaking out of that and their family member or something. One player gets it, then another player gets it. Now they're shut down again, and then it's a whole other thing.
Right.
But then you also have to extend that to the coaching staffs and the trainers and the game ops people, the referees, the cameramen, and any sort of broadcast. So it becomes a very – this is why this thing is spreading so rapidly, as you think about, you know, the degrees of separation we have and how many people we – you know, not physically, but how many people we touch in connection in just our industry, which is just one of, you know, many. And this is it becomes logistically very difficult. You know, I was, you know, just messing around with ideas. It's like the virus, theoretically, they believe is less contagious in hotter climates. And when you get to like summertime, like Las Vegas is really hot. And so maybe in theory, like quarantine the hotels are shut down anyway, like quarantine the players in these environments and just go to like one arena. And, you know, I you'd have to figure out how to do that on the broadcast, right? But it's not like anyone's working. So like just show the games during the day, kind of like Summer League, how it's just game after game. This is just, you know, my thought. I don't know if that's a practical one, but it does eliminate the need to travel, right? Because teams would have to travel from place to place.
That's crazy to think about games in Vegas with no casinos open. That's a terrible situation for somebody who loves Vegas, right? Like, be trapped in Vegas, but you can't do anything.
Yeah, but you know, you're making millions of dollars to play basketball, and you're salvage all that. But yeah, I hear you. I mean,
I meant more for selfish reasons. Say if the media can cover it.
If you're someone who likes to gamble, that would be torture. Like, you're in Vegas and you literally can't gamble because the whole place shut down. That's got to be difficult.
Well, I do wonder what they're going to do with us, though. I wonder how they're going to handle us. Like, are we going to have any access until this thing gets back to normal? Or is it going to be super limited? Or would you like video conference calls or something? Like,
well, like the CDC recommendation is no more than 50 people, right?
Right.
So, okay, you've got 30 players and you've got the coaching staffs and you've got all, you know, start.
That's already subtracting, 50 right there.
Like,
yeah, we're screwed.
Right, like start subtracting, like, okay, the inactive players don't go to the game, and maybe you give the coach only one assistant per game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you still got the table, you've got the, you know, all the various parties, even to mop up the floor, which is a, you know, I was joking the other day, unless you want to see like, you know, a player's doing it, like Alex Caruso, JaVale McGee, like
now that would be
mopping down the
see.
Floor. I mean, it'd be hysterical. It'd be fun. You know, Ivica Zubac or whatever. But you know, the media can't be as much as, you know, for me, it's like, of course we're the priority because this is what we do. But I wonder what it would mean. I mean, if you're already at the 50 mark, do you go with a pool reporter? That's kind of what they do when it comes to the referees. If there's a controversial call or something, the referees will, to a degree, allow one reporter to come in with one or two questions, and then those answers are released to all reporters. And it's not like, for instance, if it was the Los Angeles Times that got the question, it wouldn't be proprietary to the, you know, it wouldn't be the LA Times saying according to sources or whatever. It'd be all of us can use it. So that's that's an idea.
Nobody's gonna like that idea.
There is no good idea. How many media? Like, okay, so do you limit it to just the beat reporters? Because I think that would be the first inclination of a team, right? So it would be the main outlets, and then, but how do you decide that? Right? Does it start with the paper of record, which the LA Times would say that's that, but then the Los Angeles News Group would, or whatever they're called right now, they would argue, and then ESPN's going to want to be there, and they're a partner, so they're probably going to get, they're a league partner, so they're going to get some priority. You go case by case. Does the NBA.com writer, because they're part of the thing, the Associated Press is going to be there. And then you get to, myself, I'm with Bleacher Report, and you gentlemen, and then you get to the international press, and before you know it, you got like a couple hundred people. Not to mention that everyone's going to be starved for content, so it's not like in an average game, not everyone goes. And then you have like the big moments where it's whatever. There's a game where there's someone special, or some momentous occasion. LeBron's going to pass someone, Michael Jordan, and everyone shows up, or they're playing the Clippers, or or Kawhi does something crazy and whatever. So, everyone shows up for those. In these, everyone's going to show up because everyone's starving for content.
Yeah.
Well, I think to put this nicely, I think there's been a loose requirement to get credentials for some arenas, for some teams. And I think you could probably tighten that up a bit to the teams who cover, to the people who cover the teams, on a day-to-day basis, at practice, at games, who actually write out of it. I know it wouldn't seem fair, but like you said, the number of people just add up so quickly, just in terms of the media alone.
Right.
I was thinking, maybe they could set off a section for media to sit if it wasn't an arena-style place, where you could just section off a place for media. They could sit there, cover the game, and then after the game, they'd obviously give you the podium, a player, and then you split out media across a big room, maybe just to keep the distance. I don't know if that works, but I don't know. The NBA's big in large part because of the media access and because of the exposure that players have gotten. And so I think that while obviously the priority is getting back to games, they will lose a bit. With the lack of access. Now, maybe that's absolutely me talking a little bit selfishly, but no, that's just what I think.
Well, no, the fans aren't there. So you would argue that we're even more needed to represent them.
Right, right, right.
I would say, during the off season, like Eric, you could probably attest to this on the Lakers side. Like when we get an email saying, hey, there's going to be a conference call because they just signed DeMarcus Cousins, right? And then we all chew questions on a call. I think that makes more sense than anything, really, because then we can all, or there'll be a limited number, of course, but at least we'd all have a chance to ask questions and get that audio, right? And then get our stories from that.
True, true. But I mean, again, you're limited in that they might not pick your question. And if it's, but that's always a risk in game, like at the game too. But I think it's easier to assert yourself if you're there, but as opposed to just, hitting a button to chime where they, you want to talk.
Yeah.
But it is something. And I think that's probably, Ryan, where we're going, in my opinion. I mean, because that's just where the world is right now, where everything is either social media, text, phone call, video, whatever. It's just, we all need to keep our distance from each other, which, in ways is bad, but that, there's all these complaints about how society is so dependent on these, well, not dependent, but like younger generation, all they do is look at their phones, and you know, everyone, no one communicates in person anymore. That's been a complaint of certain people. And now it's an asset because for now we've lost the ability to connect in person, just, you know, especially like my folks and my kids were, and all their grandkids were doing a conference call of some sort to just be together and hang out. And that's great. But, you know, it's obviously we can't do it in person because especially the older generation are at higher risk. But like I said, this will pass in some way or another. And, you know, I do believe we'll get some version of a season. It just becomes logistically a nightmare really quickly in how to actually produce that. I don't know. I think there's still a real chance that things get worse before they get better, and this could delay so far. The question is, how long can the union wait? How long can the league wait until they pull the plug and just accept millions and really billions and billions of dollars of losses? And then how does that impact the league moving forward? Because there are tremendous salary cap ramifications because the players are and the league are splitting the money more or less 50-50, give or take. So if you lose $2.4 billion, which is possible, that would reduce the cap by $40 million for the next season. And that's how the formula works, more or less. So you're talking about dropping from a projected $115 to $75 million would change everything. Teams that thought they had spending power are now a tax team because the tax would drop with it, the tax line. So, but again, just like we talked about earlier, the league and the players can renegotiate anything. They can work out anything. All the rules that we have, I can only go off of what we have in writing in the collective bargaining agreement, but I have to also acknowledge that they can do whatever the heck they want, that they're not bound to anything. And while they'll work within the structure of the document as best they can amend it just for this emergency circumstance. So there's no guessing. But the players do need to get hit by the economic loss here because that's just how it works. They're getting paid half of what comes in. And if there's a whole lot less that comes in, the players they can't be overpaid and the league isn't going to sit with that. And I don't think as much as the union would like to sit with that, they understand to a degree that they have to work within the bounds of their agreement.
Wow. Sounds like there's ramifications that people haven't even talked about or thought about yet that could be discussed here that are at stake here.
Yeah. That's what I do.
Thank you, Eric.
I talk about those things. I someone has to figure that crap out.
No, I mean it these are all great points. I mean no one's really mentioned that this really could change the league for a while for next year and then you know obviously from there on. I wanted to pause real quick to tell you guys about BetOnline. There's currently no NBA, no NHL, no college basketball. It sucks, and you might think that there's nothing really to bet on right now, but you'd be wrong. BetOnline still has hundreds of places you can wager. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're all open 24 hours a day, and they're all online. Sports aren't totally done. There's still things like mixed martial arts, and esports are very much on the rise. If you're into entertainment and you can still bet on American Idol, the upcoming elections and primaries, the spelling bee, and there's even a Nathan's hot dog eating contest, if that's your sort of thing. Just be sure to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. Bet online, your new ticket to online action. I wanted to move away a bit from the hiatus that we have right now because NFL free agency is going on. And obviously, this is a basketball podcast, but as we all know, Tom Brady just recently agreed to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's weird to think of a guy like Tom Brady who in any other jersey besides a Patriots jersey. And Ryan brought up a good point that just what other stars have looked really weird in other jerseys. I can't think of one more weird than Tom Brady and the Bucks, but I'll think while you guys go at it.
Karl Malone in a Lakers jersey still looks weird to me to this day. I still can't get over that. It's so strange, man.
I can give you an old one and a new one. An old one, of course, and I think this is the obvious one, is Michael Jordan in a Wizards uniform, just as ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. Right, like
wow.
That.
Yeah.
But Rajon Rondo in a Lakers uniform. Hey-o.
That's true. Nobody thinks of that right now, do they? Maybe it's because he's been on like five teams since then.
Well, you know, they did a commercial back in the day where, like, I forget what it was. Maybe it was Foot Locker or some shoe commercial. Yeah, where they had Rondo in Lakers gear, and he made fun of the idea of like, never or something like that. I forget what the exact bit was. But, yeah, I mean, Patrick Ewing played for Seattle, I think. It's, like, hard to remember, you know. Like,
that's right.
Yeah, Steve Nash still as a Laker. That's weird. Yeah, I'm glad that, you know, Kobe, Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, I'm forgetting a few others, but that it's very rare to get somebody play 20 years in the same franchise. That's extremely unlikely, but it's special when it does happen.
Then there's D Wade, who almost could have done that right with Miami, and then he went to what, Chicago, and then the Cavs. Cavs was weird, just didn't Cavs look right. Weird. At least with Chicago, I think he's from Chicago, right? So he had
that makes sense. That wasn't weird.
Hometown thing.
The Cavs one looked weird. The Cavs one looked really weird. Trying to think of Tampa Bay and Tom Brady look probably the weirdest to me. Like,
it's not going to look right at all. It's going to be like Joe Montana when he went to the Chiefs.
I didn't even know he played for the Chiefs.
see what I'm saying? Like, but I mean, he was actually still pretty good with the Chiefs. But I mean, he didn't win anything.
Shaq in any uniform other than a Laker uniform is still pretty weird, except Orlando and Los Angeles, but like Boston, Phoenix,
Cleveland that one year too.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Miami. I mean, you can argue Miami. Miami's
fine. Give him Miami.
Yeah, you want a title there. But, so.
Yeah, but the rest of them, it's like, I don't know. He traveled quite a bit towards the end there.
I didn't think he was going to be one of those players either. I thought he would be two franchises or three franchises and that's it.
Nah, he was about getting paid.
Yeah, he was.
You see all the commercials he does still?
Oh,
the General
God.
And all that stuff. Come on.
That guy sponsors more things than any other athlete I think I've ever
And I don't, I'm not mad at him for it. I'm not, don't take that as hate. I'm just saying that's not Shaq.
Yeah, I know. If you can do it, why not? Right? I mean,
exactly.
Throw me some money. I'll sponsor something.
That's not even including his acting that he does on the side. Just
Curb Your
so
Enthusiasm.
Much. Oh, was he in that show?
Enthusiasm. Yeah, early days.
He got tripped, remember, by Larry David? And then, what did he?
Oh, no, spoiler alert. I'm on season one.
Did they say he tore his ACL or something?
Something like that, yeah.
And he's, like, laying up in bed, and I guess Shaq was a big, like, Seinfeld fan, so he brought, like, all the episodes. And then it turned out the diagnosis was wrong or something. But somehow it flipped back on Larry David like it always does. But it was a good episode. Yeah. That's a long time ago, though.
Yeah, I love when you see Larry David sitting courtside and you're just like, watch your feet.
You guys brought up TV shows. Are there any shows that you guys are watching right now, catching up on?
Man, I've run out.
I mean, quite a few. Oh, there's a million of them.
Name them. Not a million, but name some.
I was watching Survivor with my daughter last night. And I turned to her and I said, they're probably going to have to do the finale, which is in front of a live audience. They're probably going to have to do that in an empty room. It's just going to be the contestants and if that.
<Weird.
It's> like,
that's so weird.
I was actually, let's see, random stuff. I was watching Kidding on Showtime, which is a Jim Carrey vehicle, which is kind of sad, but it's also entertaining.
I can't watch depressing stuff, man.
It is a little bit, it's a little dark. But I mean, there's, you know, I recommend to people, if you haven't seen shows, watch Fleabag. That's
Fleabag
amazing.
Fleabag is amazing. Yeah, I love Fleabag. Well, cause I'm English, right? So that humor it's like my whole family. The first person I reached out to after watching one episode, I said, it's my mom. I'm like, Mom, you have to share this with your sisters, with all my aunts, because the humor is just hilarious. And it's like 20-minute episodes, right? And
whenever I go on a plane, I watch it again.
Oh, it's a classic. But Better Call Saul, I just finished.
Oh, I just finished watching that episode.
Oh, what an awesome, well-written show.
Yeah, I love that show. I haven't watched it yet this season, but I'm caught up until this season.
Oh, this season is interesting. I just watched the most recent episode yesterday. Very interesting. It's
season five, right? Now?
I want to say it's season four. Well, but it might be five. I don't know. Time has passed by so quickly.
I think Netflix is like a season behind, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not current, obviously. But yeah. I think it was season four that they had on there. But I could be wrong.
No, you're right. You're right. It is season five right now. You're right.
Okay, cool. I'm pretty diverse. I've been watching, like, they revived Clone Wars, the Star Wars cartoon, or I don't know if cartoons.
I haven't watched that yet, series. But I will.
My wife and I, we shotgunned together the, was it The Love is Blind on Netflix, which was just insanity.
Oh, no. You gave into that?
Oh, I watch all that kind of stuff. My wife likes that stuff, and my kids like that stuff. So
he's married, man. You got to give him a break.
That's true.
It's a give
That's
and take. True.
Yeah, yeah. So I entertaining stuff. It's not. It's ridiculous. You know, they watch The Bachelor and all that. I didn't. I only saw little bits of The Bachelor this season. But every so often, I'll catch some of that with them.
I have a list of movies here that I haven't watched yet that I'm going to get judged pretty heavily for. But I need to know which one I should watch first.
Oh, here we go.
That list includes Inception. Never.
You
seen
haven't
it.
Seen Inception?
No.
Oh man.
Hmm.
That's got to be like 10 years old now.
Oh, the list gets way better. Hold on. Superbad.
Dude.
Hold on. It gets better. The Joker. Okay. I
haven't seen that one yet.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
That's classic.
Bro. What were you doing?
That's like a 40-year-old movie now.
Yeah.
And then Step Brothers was the last.
Step Brothers? Are you kidding me? Oh my god!
I mean, like, step. which one? I mean, I would probably see 40-Year-Old Virgin first.
I love Steve Carell.
Inception
so
is fun. It's neat. It's kind of a puzzle, and it does or doesn't make sense depending on your point of view. It's definitely watchable and entertaining. I mean, this is what you know. What we have to do here. I'm working, and I've got. It's just nice to catch up on stuff in the background. But that's not right. A show you can like. I can watch some of these shows with my wife with while working and the TV's on. But Inception, that's like something you really gotta. You gotta watch every bit.
Yeah, you gotta be focused.
What's going on?
I bet you that's gonna be not a great rewatchable for people these days because of the attention. You have to be completely focused on it. Can't play with your phone. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like 2.5 hours, if I remember correctly.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a long one. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, honorable mentions. I didn't even mention like The Revenant, Life of Pi, Wolf of Wall Street.
Dude, The Revenant. No,
Revenant wasn't good.
Well, I mean, it's good like visually, but it's one of those movies you watch once and you never watch it again. You're like, okay, he got an Oscar for this. I want to see why. And you watch it, and then you're like, okay, I will never watch that movie again, ever.
Eric, have you seen that movie?
I have not seen The Revenant. No. I don't know if I will. If it's on one day, if it just randomly pops up on TV, but that's not even how we watch TV anymore, right? Like, so
that's true.
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
You mentioned Star Wars, Clone Wars. Did you watch all 9 movies?
I did watch all. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The last. What did you think of the last trilogy?
So, I saw. I'm old enough to have seen Star Wars, the original one, in the theater. I was very young, just a little kid. But it obviously made an impact. I remember waiting, and in 1980 went and saw Empire and Jedi. Those were, you know, Empire's the best, Star Wars, A New Hope. And then you get to the prequels, and I rewatched them. Well, I haven't finished yet, but I rewatched the first prequel, and then I think I got halfway through the second one and then just got too busy. I'll probably revisit that. But, oh my God, I mean, like, I went in there with a very open mind and wanting to say, like, okay, you know, maybe it was bad because everyone had high expectations, but man, it's
pretty bad.
There's some real legit bad stuff, and I'm like, bad. I wanted to really be like, oh, everyone, you know, there was some stuff in there, just writing and just conceptually. I actually, and then I haven't gotten to the third one again. The prequel, the third one, which is supposed to be the best of it, and I've seen it a couple times, but it's been a real long time. I think that's the best of them. Then this, I actually don't hate the most recent trilogy as much as a lot of people did. I thought that the first one was, you know, like a B. I thought the second one in stretches was an A, but overall was probably like a C- or D+. probably like a C minus. I'm probably...
That's not great.
Yeah, it's not great. But there were parts of it that were very good. It's just I thought it tonally and conceptually, they just sort of... There wasn't the through line. It wasn't a well-conceived trilogy. It was more of three different movies, although one and three really work together, and then three kind of answers some of the problems of number two. There's a little bit of, you know, recomposing some of the stories, you know, retrofitting it, so to speak, retconning it to make it all work and make sense. I liked the third one. I enjoyed it. I know the flaws in it, and I was able to come out of it with it. Some people felt like it negated the storyline of the whole first six movies, but I look at it as like there's a six-part story, and this is like the epilogue, and it was a good epilogue. It just wasn't great, and let's not forget that the first trilogy was pretty crappy too.
Do you know what put me off the last three altogether? Was Princess Leia doing her Peter Pan act in space. That was just what the hell is going on? I laughed. I was in the theater and I laughed. I laughed at that. And then the Revenge of the Sith, when Darth Vader comes off of the thing and he's going, no. I laughed at that.
Are you kidding me?
That was terrible.
Oh, but it was so bad. It was good. It was so bad. It was good.
It was so cheesy.
It is generational, I think. Like, I know there's a certain generation that grew up with the first prequels, me. Right?
And, oh, no, that's Tomer. I'm the right. one that and grew so, up with the other ones.
Right. Like, if you Same grew up with the first trilogy, the actual, you know, original Star Wars trilogy, everything else pales, and probably rightfully so. But if you grew up, by the time you got, you were too young to really understand the first movie, and you're probably young enough where, you know, the pod racing was entertaining, which to me, it's exhausting. Right. But maybe when you're so young, that was like entertaining. But by the time you get to the third one, you know, it was dark. It's a good anti-hero movie. And yeah, I could see where you're going with that. It didn't bother me as much. I didn't laugh at that. But yeah, Leia technically was as powerful, if not more powerful than Luke in canon at this point. Like, she was someone who had full training, would have been a very powerful Jedi. And in theory, she did get training, at least if, you know, spoiler alert, they showed a clip or two in the last movie where she's getting trained by Luke. So, yeah, but it did look a lot like Mary Poppins. Absolutely.
Oh, it's just, she
just needed an umbrella.
It was weird.
There were problems in the second film, for sure.
No, I grew up on the second trilogy,
prequel.
The Anakin one, the prequels, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I didn't necessarily like them, but I didn't necessarily hate them either. Like the first trilogy, the originals were still the best, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well.
Like, no, even considering my age, like, I consider them the best. But episode three, technically, where they have the big battle and Darth Vader comes out, I actually really like that episode. I didn't really have many problems with it.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that one as well. Yeah. There are flaws that we can point out, but I think by and large, it was successful. More so, far more so than the first couple, and in a lot of ways, more successful than this last trilogy. I haven't ranked everything yet. I did watch also. I got through the Rebels animated series. I enjoyed that quite a bit. It starts out kind of. Cute to a degree, and I thought it added depth as it went. And then I had seen Clone Wars, but it's been a while, so while I'm catching up with the most recent episodes, I actually started it over, and that's more something I do while I'm working, and then every so often there'll be an episode that'll grab my full attention. But yeah, we have a little bit more time. Every week I just clear out all of the games and things that I had to do out of my schedule, so it's yeah, I'm still very busy and I'm using my time well, but we do have a little bit more time to catch up on things like that.
Do you know what's an underrated Star Wars movie that we didn't even mention? It's Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was really good.
It was fantastic.
Yep.
It was the first.
I like they didn't shy away from the ending. They didn't make it a happy ending. Mm-hmm. I saw the Solo movie one time. I'd like to see it again at some point to see. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I'd like to just remind myself. And then I think we're forgetting one other. I don't know. I think we've left out one. But yeah, Rogue One was definitely high quality.
The Han Solo movie? There's a lot. I don't know. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I got to watch the cartoon soon, though. Eric, anything else to add? I think we're pretty much good, unless you guys want to add anything else. I enjoyed the Star Wars talk. I haven't had a Star Wars talk in a while.
Yeah, well,
really, just
I do play a Star Wars video game, a mobile game on my phone, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. So that's keeps my mind at peace during it's a daily thing. So,
but do you play?
Check it out if you have a moment.
Do you play other video games? PS4?
I'll play Marvel Strike Force, which is on my phone as well. I used to play a few more, but
mobile guy.
Yeah, well, just because I don't have the time to sit in front of a console. Growing up, that's how I grew up. You know, back in the old days, you know, with like the original gaming, home gaming consoles and stuff. Uh-huh. I went through all of them more or less. You know, Atari,
wow,
Intellivision, ColecoVision, GameCube, Nintendo. You know, Super Nintendo, all that stuff.
Wow,
can't go wrong with COD though. I love COD. That's the only game I play. I used to play 2K. I just don't play that as much anymore. But
I'll play Blacktop with my daughter and one of my daughters especially, but a couple of them will play some on the Blacktop on NBA 2K. I still struggle to beat them. It's very frustrating.
You believe all these players though? That's like all they're doing right now. They're all gaming.
They're all streaming. They're all streaming their games.
I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, what else are you gonna do when you're a player?
A lot. They're teenagers or young in their young 20s. That's what most people of that age do for fun anyway.
Yeah.
And they just happen to be athletes and make a certain amount of money, but they're still.
And probably still get paid to do this as well. Probably get paid more than we do to play video games.
Yeah, dude, I'd say that's fair.
That's probably fair. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. It's a great way to grow their brand.
You'll cry now. Yeah, I mean, I just can't believe how many of them are doing it. I mean, what, Caruso's doing it, JaVale McGee's doing it, Paul George is doing it, right, Tamer?
Yeah, PG's doing it, Devin Booker's doing it. It's to the point now where, I mean, it was announced today that players are not allowed to basically go to the facility. They're basically forced to be stuck at home, and if they're going to work out, it better be at home. And, I mean, damn, I'd be playing video games too.
Yeah, like totally.
It'd be insane.
And we've had some rain lately, so it hasn't been easy to even work outside. So,
yeah, if you're in LA, no, not easy. Eric, where can people find you?
I'll be home for a while.
Here's my address.
Where can people physically find you?
But if you want to actually see what I'm doing, it's best to follow me on Twitter at Eric, E-R-I-C, Pincus, P-I-N-C-U-S, and I write for Bleacher Report, Basketball Insiders. Do a podcast called Hollywood Hoops every Tuesday. And on occasion, when there's actually an NBA, I will appear on NBA TV here and there. But I don't think I'm going to be traveling to Atlanta anytime soon.
Yeah, back when the NBA returns, you'll see Eric Pincus on NBA TV. You're mostly, what do you do, free agency stuff, trade deadline specials, right?
Yeah. Free agency especially. I've done the draft for them. I've done some trade deadline. Whenever they need someone to try to explain what is actually happening from a money point of view, which is a lot of times the case. That's where I can step in and at least add some level of educated thought.
The very knowledgeable Eric Pincus. As usual, you can find Ryan Ward, Lakers guy, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Ryan Ward LA. Not much going on, but he's coming up with stuff somehow. I don't know. Maybe I got to get on that too. You can follow me at Tomer Azarly. That's TomerAzarly on Twitter and Instagram. Try to come up with some Clipper stuff to keep people entertained. I don't know if it'll work well, but we'll see. Probably got to catch up on those movies. Probably got to watch, what is it, Superbad, Step Brothers, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, see Booksmart as well. I like Booksmart.
Booksmart? Okay, I'll add that to the list. Booksmart.
Can't end this without at least one quote from Step Brothers, though. Just one. This house is a fucking prison.
I wish I knew what that meant, but I have no clue.
It's the house of learned doctors.
It applies to
you'll know now. Situation. You'll know now.
Yeah, it does apply. That's true.
Bro, gotta watch. Usual, it. That's gotta be your first one,
please. Okay, it'll be my first one. Step Brothers. Okay. please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast: Apple, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart. Any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns, shoot it over to us in the reviews and on Twitter. We're open to all of it. And yeah, as usual, find us on Clutch Points and Blue Wire Networks. Eric, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. I hope you have a healthy and safe quarantine period, or self-isolating period, whatever you want to call it. To all of your fan out there, please don't hoard the toilet paper. Old people need it. Other people need it. You don't need that much toilet paper. And yeah, we'll catch you guys next episode.
See you later.
All right. Thanks for having me.